Hi, good vach and Tu B'Av Sameach. Happy Tu B'Av, everybody. That's right. Hopefully you didn't say Tafnan during Mecha, because it is Tu B'Av, a very, very happy day. Something I actually just put up a video to speak about. If I have any time, I may speak about Tu B'Av, but there's no shortage of amazing Divrei Torah abounding, including probably through many of our Magid Shirim on sheer enjoyment. You know, so there's so much. It's an amazingly happy time of love. And it's not just a time of love, you know, for people to get married and between spouses, but it's also just a time between love for a human being and certainly our fellow Jews. So we're going to talk about Parshat Vayetzchanan, but just before we begin, I just want to mention, as usual, our shiur is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala Bar Menachem Mendel, and also Le'ilui Nishmat Herschel Ben Shammai Shmaya and Refua Shalema for her Rav Moshe Pinchas Ben Sarah. And also, I would like to also give this Le'ilui Nishmat Aryeh Wolf, who was actually just killed tragically yesterday in Baltimore. And, you know, maybe we have no more tzaras, and may his neshama have an aliyah as well. All right, so let's focus on happy things. Again, it's Tu B'Av, we're focus on happy things. And let's focus on the fact that we're going through Sefer Devarim, we're making good progress, we're learning Torah, hopefully doing, you know, Tariq Mitzvot and Shnei Mikra and everything we need to be doing, and of course Chesed. All right, so let's get this show on the road. Towards the end of this week's parsha, the Torah states, "Shamor tishmarun et mitzvot Hashem olkechem ve'edotav v'chukotav asher tzivach." You shall surely keep the mitzvot of Hashem your God and His edot and His chukim that He commanded you. Throughout the Torah, especially in the Book of Devarim, the Torah, in addition to the broader term mitzvot, generally speaks of chukim and mishpatim. Chukim, or chok in singular, are laws, most often such as shatnez, paraduma, red heifer, which we don't necessarily have a logical explanation for and must simply keep as an obeying of God's will. So chukim are things that we don't understand, or there's a component of them that we really don't understand. Mishpatim are the laws for which we have or can think of logical reasons for, and these two terms are quite often paired together in the order of chukim and mishpatim. Now, the actual construct in all the different times in the Torah where these terms are used, there are certain times that they're used a little more liberally. We're not going to get into all of that. We're going to stick to our definitions for now. In our pasuk that we just mentioned, mishpatim doesn't appear, and instead the relatively unique term edot appears, right? As I said, his edot and his chukim. It doesn't say mishpatim. In addition to this curious substitution, why does edot come before chukim, and what does it precisely mean to keep Hashem's edot, his testimony? And to further complicate the matter, sorry for that, just several psukim later, the Torah writes, "Ki yishalchu bincha machar lamar maha edot v'achukim v'hamishpatim asher tzivah Hashem elokechem etchem." When your child will ask you tomorrow, saying, "What are the edot and the chukim and the mishpatim that Hashem your God commanded you?" So wait a minute. Before we had edot and chukim. Actually, I'm thinking I may have given this to our last year, but either way, here it is again. If I did, I apologize, but I'm obviously telling it over a little bit differently. Anyway, before we mentioned Eidot and Chukim, now we're mentioning Eidot, Chukim, and Mishpatim. So now the third category, Mishpatim, are added. So which is it, right? Is it Eidot and Chukim? Is it Chukim and Mishpatim? Or is it all three? In order to begin to understand this, we must first explain what we're talking about. What are Hashem's Eidot? What are Hashem's testimonies? The main explanation, it seems, is that these refer to the collection of historical events, or more specifically, the divine structure of events unfolding, and what we must do to commemorate them, right? Examples are keeping Shabbos to remember that Hashem created the world, purpose of the world in general, you know, keeping Hashem in mind. We eat matzah on Pesach to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim and what Hashem did for us, and things like that. This language of Eda testimony is also used by a Brit, right? Specifically, the Brit covenant given to our forefathers promising our departure from slavery and the birth and ultimately to a great nation. In fact, this actually may be the quintessential Eidah relevant to us Jews specifically, because that's what made us into the nation we are. And on the other hand, though, Shabbos is so integral to our lives and is unimaginably important, and also does recall an event, which is, of course, the seventh day in which Hashem rested, in a certain sense, right? It benefited the entire world. So that actually, even though non-Jews don't celebrate Shabbos, certainly not in the way we do, the beauty of Shabbos and the concept that Hashem rested, whatever precisely that means, was something fundamentally intricate to the fabric of creation of this world, right? And therefore, Shabbos was made, even though Shabbos was, in a sense, for the Jews, Shabbos was put into the fabric of creation. In that respect, it was for the whole world. Whereas by Pesach, and certainly by the Brit promising our forefathers that we'll be taken out of Mitzrayim, right, that was
exclusively for the Jewish people and making us a nation. So that's something that's just for us alone. Now, interestingly enough, I'll tie back to that in a moment. In this week's parasha, we have the reiteration of the Aseret HaDibro, Ten Commandments. Although here they're actually called Aseret HaDibrim, which is actually more grammatically appropriate, and that's something that I want to look into. So, mental side note. All right, we mentioned the Aseret HaDibro for the second time. We first mentioned it in Parsha Yitro, and then we mentioned it again here in Parsha Yitzchanan. And it states that the reason we must keep Shabbos is because of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which on the surface doesn't seem to make sense, but a lot of commentaries actually speak about it. I'm only going to go into it a tiny bit. But we even say it, you know, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right? We say it in Kiddush, right? There is a concept of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So this actually ties into the fabric of creation as well, believe it or not, even though the fabric of creation was for everybody, and the Aseret HaDibro were seemingly exclusively for the Jews. So much to talk about, but I'm only going to talk about certain pieces, and hopefully that will suffice for now, but there'll be a lot of talking points moving forward. Without going into really a deep meaning behind this connection, we do have to understand the importance of our birth as a nation, and the fact that the Torah tells us to speak to our children and future generations about the Eidot Chukam and Mishpatim. And first and foremost is Yitziat Mitzrayim. That was the birth of who we were as a nation. And when we were coming out of Mitzrayim, we got our first Eidah, so to speak, which our first testimony, our first time in which we had a set commandment, which, you know, we had, of course, you know, the Karban Pesach. But the first thing we were given was actually the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. That was our first moment in time that we had to commemorate, right? And that also ties to the concept of the lunar setting and how that works and the setting of the calendar and all that, which, of course, that also ties into the concept of creation. So the concept of Yetziat Mitzrayim actually being fundamentally, intricately woven to the fabric of creation and how that was designed runs far deeper than any of us can imagine. But it's interesting. The Torah writes, after it mentions the Eidot Chukim and Mishpatim, V'tzivanu Hashem la'asot et kol ha'chukim ha'ela, and Hashem commanded us to perform all the chukim. So he mentions Eidos, it mentions right before, it mentions chukim, but it doesn't mention Mishpatim. So we have three instances so far in our parsha: Eidot Chukim, Eidot Chukim with Mishpatim, and then Eidot Chukim again without Mishpatim. What does that mean? The acceptance of God's testimony, Eidot, is the acknowledgement that he runs and controls the world, something which is connected to the concept of the creation of the world, Hashem's mastery of the world, and therefore Shabbos. He set a natural order to things, that's connected to the Shabbos, but he also divinely guides history in a way that is part of a master plan, and that's symbolized by Yetziat Mitzrayim. When one has this connection and strong cognizance of Hashem's ways, is it not likely that he will follow the logical commandments at least? Now, chukim, so that would be the mishpatim, right? So you don't necessarily need, in a certain sense, quite as a reminder for the mishpatim. Because once you recognize God and you recognize that he has a hand in history, certainly for the history of the Jewish people, and what he says goes, especially if it makes sense, or you have a logical reason for it. But chukim, even with a foundation, may sometimes still be difficult to accept, even if it's Hashem is telling it to you. And therefore, Hashem specifically reinforces this. Now, interestingly enough, the gematria of Tezotav, his Eidot, Ayin, Dalet, Tav, Yud, Vav, is equal to U-Mishpatav, and his Mishpatim. You have to add them on, for with a firm platform of Hashem's commitment, the Mishpatim are easily included, right? You first accept his testimony. You accept the testimony that he created the world, and that he's guiding the world, and he's guiding us as a nation, and so on and so forth. Then you can accept anything that he tells you, even the things that are hard to understand. You first get those, and then it's easy to tack on any other mishpatim that you might not have known about, right? Things which are perhaps a lot more logical. Eidom come first. They're a prerequisite. They're equivalent to Ani Hashem Elokeichem in the Ten Commandments, right? I'm Hashem your God. It's a simple acknowledgement, hopefully a simple acknowledgement of Hashem's presence and mastery of the world. And then chukim follow, and then mishpatim are last, and sometimes don't even need to be mentioned. However, truly recognizing Hashem's Eidos is not always easy for a person. Sometimes, even though it should be pretty obvious that Hashem runs the world, it's not always easy for everybody to see, especially if you believe it's, you know, science or haphazard or whatever it is, even though, you know, a person who's seeing it clearly should be able to see it, but there's ways to be blinded, right? So therefore, if you don't have Eidot, then you definitely need Chukim and Mishpatim. If you don't have such a great concept of Hashem's mastery and running of the world, and you don't believe it to such an extent, but you believe in God, then it's much more important that you have the Chukim and Mishpatim to focus on. And obviously the Eidot, in a certain sense, is the most important thing. But if you don't have that, then it's more important to reinforce the chukim and mishpatim, and hopefully you'll get back to having the edah. So in our first instance, Moshe is talking to the generation in the Midbar, who clearly have the understanding of Hashem's edah. And therefore, you only need to mention chukim just to reinforce things that are not logical. Mishpatim is not necessary. They have complete faith. They know that Hashem took them out and guided everything. However, later generations who did not experience the open miracles will inquire about all three means of the connection, and therefore all three are required, Eidot, Chukim, and Mishpatim. But in the response given, hopefully one instills this appreciation, understanding, and Eidot to his children. So the third instance, when we're talking about giving it to the generation, you want to imbue more than anything else the fact that Hashem not just loves us, but he guides us and he guides the world. And therefore, we want to pass down this concept of edus, this concept of testimony, to our children and future generations. And then hopefully, it'll be easy to take on the mishpatim, and we'll only have to worry about working a little bit harder to make sure we get all the chukim, the things which may not be as understood. And therefore, we need to keep in mind, we're keeping in mind testimony, right? Shabbos is a time of actually remembering both, right? So Shabbos is a time of remembering Hashem's mastery of creation and the natural order of things, but also the way in which he can design and sometimes even manipulate nature as he needs to. He guides everything, really, right? Like he's so involved in our everyday lives on a supernatural level. And that's also part of acknowledging Hashem on the Shabbos as well, not just the 7 days of creation and they rested on the seventh. So we need to think about that. And then hopefully if we can have that, we can instill in us the concept that Hashem is in control of everything. I mean, obviously we guide ourselves to some extent. We help, in a certain sense, we're a partner with Hashem in making certain things happen. But ultimately, Hashem is the one who has the mastery of everything. And we accept that, then it'll be easy to take on the chukos and mishpatim. And hopefully we can do it with the concept of both yira and ahava. The concept of, not fear exactly, but awe. The sense of amazing awe and appreciation of Hashem. That you'll want to do his will. And it'll be on such a level that you'll do it with ahava, right? We're talking about Tuba Av tonight, the time of ahava, right? Time of love. That you'll be such an amazing awe and awe, reverence, and presence of Hashem, but there'll also be an immense, immense love. And that is the most beautiful thing to pass down to the next generation, to our children. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom, and also wanted to thank my friend Yitzchak Ha'oki for helping to inspire and add to parts of this Dvar. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.